Hey, is it well with your soul today? Yes, it is with mine. Listen, it's something we could say affirmingly that if you're right with God and God's right with you, which God's always right with you if you're in his will, and you can say it's well with my soul and you can walk out of here confident today knowing no matter what happens, next hurricane, next earthquake, next car wreck, next thing that happens in your life, it can still be well with you. You don't necessarily enjoy any of the aches and pains of life, but I want to tell you, there's one who sees you through, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That was what he said to his disciples. And today, if you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you are his disciples. And that's a promise he promised to the end of the age. When is the end of the age? That's up to that God that Mike talked about earlier. And I told Mike, geek out a little bit on the star thing. And he almost went a little too far because I didn't have to tell him. I knew he was going to. So it's incredible to see how big God is. And as Mike said, every time you think you got a grasp on God, he's bigger. You'll never, never, ever grasp all of God. Let's get into today's word. This is our last chapter in the book of Amos. And if you're a guest with us today, obviously this is the white pages in your Bible. You never touch these pages very often because the minor prophets don't get much play these days because they have, it seems like, woe and doom preached to the times. And I told you, a prophet was nothing more than a preacher of his day. The prophet heard from God and he preached to the people. And that day, the priest heard from the people and spoke to God. Today, we have a high priest. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can speak to him 24/7, direct access, if you know him personally. You can talk to God all you want to. And if you don't know him by the way of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has made a commitment, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus even said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, right? He gave us access, told us who we're praying with, and it is a pray with because God wants to speak back with you. So we speak to dogs, we speak with people, right? And so God wants to have a love relationship with you that he speaks with you. You don't know what to do? Guess what we do when we don't know what to do? Go to the one who knows everything, and we ask him. So Amos is merely a preacher. And Amos today, as we get into this ninth chapter, Amos is going to have to say what God said, write down it and say. Amos had to preach it, and he had to prophesy it because God said so. Amos told us in chapter 7, I was just a fruit farmer. I was just a breeder of sheep, and God told me to come preach this message. And I love it. Being a pastor, everybody says, it must be tough being a pastor. It's really not. Pastoring is a little harder than preaching, but preaching is simply this. Obviously, what does God's word say? And God's word offends all of us. Did you know that God designed his word to upset you sometimes? To rebuke you is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, right? To correct you, those of us that are preaching and teaching, to challenge us that we actually would get right on God's way. And there's things we read in scripture, we scratch our heads and say, we don't fully understand this, God. And he says, exactly, exactly. But 99.9% of your Bible is black and white. God wants you to hear and see what he wants you to hear and see. There's things he's reserved for himself. But most people, if you find those mysteries, you go, wait a minute, I want to figure out what that mystery is. If it's a mystery of God, let me just go ahead and tell you straight up. I don't care how much you dig. If it's a mystery of God that God has reserved, guess what it is? It's a mystery of God. Don't waste your time. Just know it exists, and God has said so. In due season, if he wants to reveal that, that's up to God. But there's only small portions of scripture that are that way that God reserved when he spoke with Daniel and other opportunities that he spoke. Amos, he spoke very clearly. He warned the people of God, get right, get right. Since he has chosen Abram, who was Abraham, since he chose Abraham to be his people, the set aside Jewish people, and you don't have to agree with the Bible that you actually, some people say, I don't like that God chose a certain people. Well, there's a long bridge you can actually cross and get over it, right? But God is God. He made his choice. And some people are teaching today replacement theology that the church now has replaced Israel. I want to tell you that's a false theology based on what the promises that Scripture has put down, what God has said in his word. He has a future for his people Israel. You don't have to like it. Listen, you can listen to other men and women who preach that and teach that. But let me tell you, I believe replacement theology is a theology from Satan, is what I believe. We did not replace Israel. We are living in a very special time. And somebody said, when's the best time would you love to live in life? Can y'all think of a time? Have you ever been asked that question? When would you like to live, if any time period? And I thought it for a time, I'd love to walk with Jesus to watch some of the miracles. But then again, Judas walked with Jesus, right? There were men, and what did they all do when he got arrested? They all cut and ran, right? They betrayed him in certain ways, definitely leaving him. So when today, I've said over and over again, there's no better time than live today. The days are evil, the times are dark, but the Holy Spirit lives in me and through me to shine that light of Jesus Christ. Today's the best day because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? As long as you're his. Go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. That's what he told us to do. And he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So Amos, I don't know if you've seen this in passage. If you read ahead, you're actually mentioned in the book of Amos. If you're a Christian here today, you're going to find yourself in this last chapter that's almost 3,000 years old. How could God be preaching something to this people of his and tell Amos there is something that's happening shortly? There's something going to happen. I'm here today, some almost 3,000. It's really about 2,800 years ago. And then he also preached something that's going to happen in the future, the millennial kingdom. So God said one thing and he meant three different things with it. It's amazing how our God is infinite. But let's read it today so we can actually get into the word. And I want you to count. I did this in my Bible just in this. This is my preaching Bible. It's almost worn out, but I don't mark it often. But I was overwhelmed how God said about himself. And by the way, God is interested in pronouns. Did you know that? I, my, and he and she. All right? Amen? So God is me, I. You'll see him say it over and over again. He created he, Adam, and he created she, Eve. There are no them and they except when they're together. And the he is there and the she is there, and therefore they make they. Y'all, can you believe what's going on in our culture? I mean, the stupidest stuff that's going on in our culture. And I can say that the kids aren't in here today, by the way. If you're a guest with us, you have children under fifth grade, they're meeting if you'd like to go out that way and see Miss Kristen, they're meeting today. Let's read together. Watch, mark the times it says, the Lord said, I, me, my, the Lord God. Mark those in your Bible if you just keep a tally. Let's read together Amos chapter 9. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the doorposts that the thresholds may shake and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into, your Bible might say, hell or to Sheol, the place of the dead, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to the heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top in the caves of Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them. Verse 4, though they go into captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set my eyes on them for harm and not for good. Could you imagine the God of the universe, the God of creation, coming after you with those words? He's going to turn back around, and people say, well, I'm going to hide from God. We're going to read some other passages here in just a moment, but we want to continue. Think of God said, I don't care where you go, I'm going to get you. You've sinned against me, you've worshipped other gods, and now I'm coming for you. I don't care where you go. This is strong talk about if you could try to hide from God. Can you hide from God? No, Psalm 139, we're going to read in just a moment. We won't read it yet. But the Bible's very clear. There is nowhere you can run from God. Now, verse 5, he's going to transition just a moment. The Lord God, he uses his top name, if you will. And by the way, if you have people that go to they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. By the way, as Adrian's pointed out, we are Jehovah's Witnesses. Did you know that? He is my God. Their God is not our God, for the record. They claim and they prophesied against a God that they don't believe in. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They're kingdom halls, what we like to call them, because they're separated. They've separated themselves, but they are not of the people of God. They preach a different gospel. And Paul said, let them be accursed. Amen? And let's continue. Watch what he says. So he's going to transition. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts. Does the earth melt today? What do you think about when you hear that word? Lava, right? Just think of lava. That's exactly right. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell there mourn, and it shall swell like the river and subside like the river of Egypt. He who builds his layers in the sky and has founded his strata in the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Verse 7, are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me? And this is, I believe this is actually a term of endearment. O children of Israel, says the Lord, did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt? The answer was, yes, he did. The Philistines come from Kaphar, and the Assyrians from Kir. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. Surely I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations. As grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. And all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say, the calamity shall not overtake nor confront us. Then he's going to transition one more time. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them. Says, what does your Bible say? The Lord your God. And that's where today's sermon title comes from. The Lord says, the Lord your God. Look at your notes, if you would, for a moment. And I want to show you some things. And everybody tries to figure out the letter of the day. The letter of the day is letter P, because God was showing some things as I go through this. And I want you to see this. Today's text examines God's fifth prophetic vision that God gave to Amos. This is probably the closing of the chapter that God has done. He said, it's done. This is going to happen. There's no changing of my mind. God referenced himself over 30 times, if you counted. I counted 32 when I actually did the study of the I, me, my, the Lord God, the Lord says. He over 30 times in this vision to show who he is and what he planned to do. God had a plan, and God has a plan for all of our lives. God has a plan for, we call it the will of God. It's happening today. And we understand sometimes we pray, Lord, what is your will for my life? And the answer that, and Henry Blackaby is famous for saying, don't pray that. It's the wrong prayer. Say, what is God, what is your will? Because your life is part of the plan, and you have to get in the river where God's flowing. You see things happening. We talk about the disaster relief. There's things that we have, you see the mess. Some people say, well, the church looks dirty this week. It is. And you know what? If you saw dirt on the floor, you should volunteer your time to come up and sweep it and clean it. Amen? Don't complain about something around me unless you're willing to do something about it. Well, there's a lot of food in these. There's poor people who need that food. Then come get you a truckload and take it to their house. Amen? Amen? Come on. Amen? Because everybody has a gripe, and we can solve your gripes real easy at the house of God. Amen? But when you see something, obviously there's flies flying around my head right now. I feel it. Somebody kill him if he lands on you. Okay, if you smack like that during church, I know what you did. You were silly swinging for him. Amos is called out to the people of God. God had a plan. God said, this is going to happen. I am sick and tired of these people. And I won't reference today. You can go look for yourself. Romans chapter 1, God speaks about the people of that time. Obviously, in this time, Romans 1, they worship the creation more than the creator. They've left the one they love. And God's very clear. These sins are going to send people straight to hell. Galatians chapter 5 as well. Galatians 5, and I think it's verse 17. He talks about these are the fruits of the flesh, and those people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God's very clear. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times are coming when men shall be, and he gives a whole list of how people shall be, and that list is talking about people that are in the church, people that have the Bible says, a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Have nothing to do with those people. We say, but God, this is my family. God, these are my friends. God, I really love these people. He says, have nothing to do with them. Does that bother you? It bothers me. It brings about stress in my life. But if someone wants to practice those sins and say, I'm a Christian just like you are, don't judge me, man. We're not the ones bringing the judgment. Who is the judge? God is the judge, and God will bring about judgment. God's going to punish sin. We'll see that in your notes as well as we continue. In the vision, to go to your notes, in the vision, God showed Amos his coming judgment by destroying the places of false worship along with those who worshiped and trusted false gods for protection. Now, some of you are too young, but some of you do remember what happened the Sunday after 9/11. What happened? People beat a path to church. Even our Democrats, Republicans on the steps of the Congress are out there singing and they're praying or talking to God or talking to the people, showing a united front, but people beat a path to the church. And people want to just pray for me, Pastor. During the storm, guess what happened? People start trying to get closer and closer. When the hurricane's coming, they're getting closer and closer. Anybody that has a collar on or looks like a pastor, just pray for me. Pray for me. The storm's coming. Pray for my fill in the blanks. And how many of us have prayed for somebody who's been damaged in the storm? Family members, we prayed, Lord, pray for them. We pray for them. We want them to come to know you through this storm. God used his circumstances. God's telling these people, he's telling Amos, as if God's standing at the altar. And I read it initially going, what altar? And if you read commentaries, you'll get, you know, J. Vernon McGee's probably the most famous man who said it. Commentaries written by just what it says, commentators, right? They're just commentators, regular taters, all right? These men and some women write these. They study the word, but there's a little bit of argument. Is it the altar of God in heaven? Is the altar of God down in Judah? We don't believe so. These are the false altars. There's two temples. The king has made two temples in the northern kingdom. The 10 tribes have two temples of worship, two false temples with golden calves inside. And God said, Amos said, I saw him standing there by the doorpost. Look what he said. Look where he's standing. I saw the Lord standing by the altar there, and he said, strike the doorpost that the thresholds may shake. What happens if you shake the thresholds? If we could actually bring equipment in to shake the thresholds of these doorways, what's going to happen? If it continues to vibrate and it doesn't stop, what's going to happen? I want you to look up. What's going to happen? You're going to be crushed. So these people, during this time of wrath, they're running. They're going to run to the false temples for protection. They're going to run in and say, oh God, and they're going to call out to their false gods to save them and protect them. And look what it says, and break them on the heads of all them all. The threshold shall shake and break them on the heads of them all. I would slay the last of them with the sword. When the enemy was coming and this happened, they rushed to their places of worship. They wanted to get away and escape, pray for protection, and the place fell on them, and the ones that escaped out of the temples and God killed with the sword, the enemy killed. In the vision, they wanted that protection there from their false gods. The Lord God, and I use this terminology because the Bible uses it, the highest name of God, the Lord God is omnipresent. What does that simply mean? Present everywhere at the same time. You say, well, how can that be? I don't understand that. Well, join the crowd, neither do I. But God says about himself, he's everywhere all the time. He declared no one, nowhere could escape his holy wrath. God's very clear. Let's go to Psalm 139. Let's look at it together. Flip over that page. Let's read it. Psalm 139. And watch what the Lord says about himself. God, he'll say throughout Scripture, if we'll just simply read Scripture, he speaks of himself often so that we might know him. Psalm 139, and it will be up on the screen as well, but it's good to mark your Bible if you're not in the habit of doing that. It's great. The psalmist writes this, Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, guess who's there, y'all? God, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, behold, guess what? You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, who's there? God is. Even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I shall say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines in the dark, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. You think God is powerful? I think we lose it sometimes. How many times do we spend time outside? And as great as Mike talked about, go outside and just, these men would spend many, many hours outdoors. They would see the shooting stars. They would see the galaxies, maybe just from their untrained eye. But Scripture would even talk about some of them. If we go back and look at our Scriptures, what the Pleiades, as Amos talks about, they're mentioned in the Scripture. These were not just a bunch of dummies that actually looked up to the skies and just said, there's got to be a God of some kind, the God of the sun, the God of the moon. They trusted in the one true God. God revealed himself to men throughout history. He's done that. The Lord God is omnipotent, unlimited in power. He created and controls all of creation. If you struggle with God's creation, you struggle with salvation, I believe, because if you can't believe there's a God who created everything, you'll struggle that there's a God who can save anybody. Because who's far from God? The answer is everyone. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who does that include? Raise your hand if that includes you. Yes, it's us. That's you and me. We know that. So there's no innocent person on the planet. Don't worry about those people far over in the other planets. We used to hear when we were kids, missionaries would come tell us about those poor Africans on the other side of what about them that never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? What about those people, poor people in Asia? We always want to push it far away because we're not there and we don't have our passport, so we can't go there. So therefore, we can make up this imaginary people group that are just poor, innocent people that's never done anything wrong, and God's going to send them to hell. What a terrible God you serve. Has there ever been born, besides Jesus Christ, one innocent person? Not one, because we're all born into sin. Since Adam and Eve sinned, your grandpa and your grandma sinned, therefore they caused us to be born into sin. There is none righteous, no, not even one. And the Bible is very clear, we have been born into sin, therefore we must be born again by the Spirit of God to receive heaven. Let's continue and look at this. I want you to see this. The Lord God's wrath reflected his divine holiness. Although he loved his people, he detested their sin. Does God still hate your sin today? You know what your sin is, don't you? You walk in this room today, and hopefully you took a shower, you cleaned up a little bit, even if it was a cold shower. You put on your best, or you put on some good clothes, clean clothes, and you walked in saying, I hope everybody says good morning to me, or you've been very cordial to people. But you know, deep down, if we're not careful, we hide those sins in our hearts thinking that we're going to get away with that sin, or we don't want to confess it because then everyone's going to know. What would happen if we just said, okay, congratulations, the winner is whoever's sitting in this row, it's row number 3, congratulations, and we put your weekly sins up on the board. How many of you guys would like that? Anybody want to show us your week in your mind, if it could read your mind? Well, we would say, I would get up and walk out that back door if you did that to me, and I'd try to sue you or whatever you do. You'd be angry that your sins were profiled each week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? The Bible's very clear that God sees and hears and understands all things, even your very thoughts, God knows. Because some of you right now are thinking of what you did this week, and like, man, I hope no one ever finds that out. God already knows. He knew before you did it. He knew when you did it. And he knows the fact after you did it. That's what's called repentance. God wants you to turn from that sin. He was proclaiming to his people through the prophets, turn from your sins. He's proclaiming and preaching today through preachers, turn from your sins. What does God really want us to do, church? Turn from your sins. He wants you to live a life that's holy. Can you live a holy, righteous life? Yes or no? Only through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can you live this holy and righteous life. You can't do it by yourself. You say, I keep failing. That's true. Until you turn it over to God completely and say, the Lord Jesus Christ, I've received you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you really did die. I believe you really were buried in a borrowed tomb. And I really do believe that God raised him from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said. And I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. When you ask him to come into your life, guess what God always says? Yes. Sometimes you say, well, it seems too simple. It's so simple a child could understand it. Well, it seems too complex. It's so complex that none of us fully understand it. We believe it by faith. Isn't that what he says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10? It's God's grace extended to us. Even the ability to believe has been loaned to you. I don't know if you know that or not. God's faith, to believe in God, he's given you a measure of faith whereby you might trust him and then follow through with trusting him for the rest of your life. We live here today as people of faith. You say, show it to me. All I can show you is the scriptures. I can have experiences, right? But your experiences don't dictate and don't override what scripture says. Scripture must always come first. Even if you don't agree with it sometimes. You ever scratch your head when you're reading scripture going, I don't like that passage of scripture. That the scripture offends me. You should love the scripture, but it will offend you. It will cut you deeply at times. But God's telling the people here, I do love you, but I detest your sins. God revealed to Amos that he would preserve a remnant of the house of Jacob, and this is the Jewish people. God said, I will save a remnant. I'll save a small portion of these people because even in their day, not everyone was led astray. Today, when we come to church, I'm not a foolish person to believe that everybody in here is living a righteous life, that you're attempting to live daily for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's a foolish thought to think. Anytime you get a group of people together, when you have more than two, somebody's out, right? And it's usually both of you. So what we do is we keep short accounts with God. God, I'm sorry for my sins. Would you forgive me my sins? And he says, yes, I will forgive you, but you're going to be disciplined because of that sin. You're going to carry through. There's consequences to your choices. Have we not told, for 14 years I've been the pastor, have we not preached that since the day one we came here? There's always a consequence to your choices. You're free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences that come from your choice. People that are dying, it's one of the most miserable things to go to a hospital and visit someone who's religious but don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll make you almost sick to your stomach, like, Lord, if I could just make this person saved, if I could just help them understand. And I think I've shared the story a long time ago. There was a man I visited way a long time ago, and he had diabetes. He had his leg amputated at the knee. It was creeping up on him. He was an older gentleman. I went to the hospital. It was my visitation rotation. I was on staff. I said, good morning. He was in the Army. I was in the Navy. So we joked back and forth, Army-Navy jokes. And I said, hey, listen, I just come to pray for you today and tell you that I want to encourage you in the Lord. Tell me when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd love to hear stories. And he goes, let's move on. I was like, no, I really want to know, because we've been laughing and we've been talking. And then also I shared with him, I said, let me tell you my story. And I told him my story when near-death experience in the Navy when I was crazy and God saved my soul through the preaching of the Word of God in a small country church up on Battleville Boulevard in Chesapeake, Virginia. I said, tell me your story. I'd love to tell your story. If I'm going to have a part of your funeral, I'd like to tell that story if I'm called upon to do that by your family. He said, God's going to have to judge me based on how I treated my family. So, and I was a little more brash than I am now. I'm more calm now than I used to be. I said, brother, where did you get that from? And this man was many, many years my senior. Where did you get that from? God's not going to judge you based on how you treated your family. You're going to receive judgment from God on whether you received the Lord Jesus Christ or not. I said, it's simple like this. Do you believe he died on the cross? I know he died on the cross for my sins. Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? He goes, I believe it. I said, have you asked him to come into your life? He said, I will never tell God I'm sorry for how I live my life. I said, brother, and I was like, oh man, I messed this up. I'm young, I'm stupid. Let me go back, let me do it again. The Bible says we're all sinners. And he goes, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for sinners to save them. I believe Jesus Christ rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But I will not tell God I'm sorry and I will not invite him to my life. I said, your willful disobedience is going to send you to hell and you don't have many days left. You know you're sick. They told you. He goes, young man, you can leave my room now. So I beat a path back to the pastor and the other staff. I told him, I was like, you guys got to go. I think it's because I was young or maybe I said something wrong. And you guys got to go tell him. And he's been a member of this church for 40 years. You just need to get over your zealous self. He's been a member here for over 40 years. He's been a deacon in this church. I was like, I don't care. This man, based on his own profession, is lost and going to hell. You guys got to go tell him. And they're like, maybe he's just out of his mind. The medicine. No, we were joking before. We were talking clearly. He articulated back to me that he understood that he's lost and he's not saved and he would not repent. And they said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. 2 days later, the man died. So I come to staff meeting and I said, did any of you guys go? Because the funeral, did y'all go? Not one of them went. And as far as the man's in hell today, unless he repented before he died, he's in hell today. That's how serious this can be. You can know the truth. The people of Israel knew all about what God had done. They could tell you the story of Egypt and the freedom. They could tell you about the land of milk and honey. They could tell you about Moses and they could tell you about Joshua. But they had no personal faith in the Lord themselves. They had never come to the place that they trusted God only because everybody else is going to the temple where all the golden cows at. They got, man, their life's going good. Remember, there's riches. They're oppressing the poor. There's no justice in town. They're living right in the middle of it going, we love it. Does that sound like our government today? As long as I'm getting by, I don't care about you. There was no love for the neighbor. And by the way, today, do not give in to the culture because even preachers will preach this morning that, listen, you accept everybody's lifestyle under the banner of loving your neighbor. There's even commercials on TV, just love your neighbor. If you ever love your neighbor before you love your God, you've got it out of order and you're an idolater. You're worshiping a false god if you love your neighbor before you love your God. And if your God has spoken and he has spoken clearly, his thoughts, his heart, he's spoken clearly about his judgments, what's coming on this earth. He's spoken about natural and unnatural relationships. God has spoken clearly in his word, and you love God by keeping his commandments. He says, you have my commandments and you keep them. If you don't keep his commandments, everybody in this room has a Bible or access to one. Hotels are full of Bibles. Gideon's placed them there. You have access to the Word of God. You have a smartphone, a smart device. You have the Word of God, but if you don't keep the Word of God, you do not love the God of the Word. That should have been an amen right there. If you have a copy of the Word of God and you do not keep the commandments of God, you do not love the God of the Word. You don't love him. So don't come up with this hogwash that you love your neighbors and let them tolerate the lifestyle. Well, it's just an alternative lifestyle. They're just confused, Pastor. You're showing disdain from the God who wrote that you love God first and you love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the first is first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is what God has preached since Genesis 1 all the way through the end of Revelation. God wants to be first because he deserves it because he is God. And if you put neighbor before God, you're sinning against the holy God that you say that you serve. If you put yourself before God, you're sinning against the God that you say that you serve. You are a false idolater. You're somebody who actually is faking it until you make it. And you won't make it to the kingdom of God if you're faking it today. You don't have to like that. Look what God told Amos. This is a perfect picture of how God says, listen, they have degraded themselves with sin. They have been unjust to the poor. They've hurt people. They wanted more and more for themselves. And now judgment, the sin has built up, and I'm bringing the hammer. Here comes the hammer. God proclaimed that the penalty for sin is death and committed to separating, that's the word, the faithful from the faithless. God, have you guys ever, when my mom used to make biscuits, she would fill up these little metal things that we would have a crank on the side. And we got to sift the flour. Did you ever do that? Now, this is not the same kind of sifter because they would do that and separate the wheat from the chaff. It would blow away. The chaff would blow away. But we used to make biscuits that way. And we'd sift out the flour so it'd be fine. That's what God's saying. There's a few that's going to be saved, but the majority is going to be carried away through death. And they're going to be separated from God for all of eternity. Romans 6:23 says this in your notes. For the wages of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Don't leave it there because that's where most people stop. The gift of God is eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever misquote that, you're going to lead somebody astray. So the gift of God is eternal life, but it's only found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome God we serve, right? What a fearful thing to actually go against the God of the Bible. The Lord announced a future day of restoration for Israel and expressed his promise to welcoming all nations that would be called by his name. James even repeats that in in Acts chapter 15, verses 14 through 17, the Lord announced a future day of restoration. I want you to see that. Don't miss this here. This is me and you. Verse 12, speaking about all nations. Guess what? Even, you're microed in there, even a picture of salvation for the remnant of Israel, there was a picture of you and me, the church. Does that blow your mind? Okay, maybe I'm just amazed by God. 3,000 years ago, God was thinking about me. Now you say, well, you're so conceited that you would say that. I'm saved. He saved my sorry soul. And this was a promise that he was going to do something for all nations that are coming in the future. Your Bible might say Gentiles, but Gentile just means anybody other than a Jew. That's all it means. You have the Jew and everybody else, right? If you want to be proper, it's the Jews and the nations, right? The Gentiles, the Greeks, all those other people. That's you and me. Unless you're Jewish here this morning, then it was for you as well. That's who the gospel is for. Romans 1:16 to 17 is very clear. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, it is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for who? For the nations, for me and you. God was thinking of me and you here in verse 12. It's amazing to think about. And read Acts 15, 14 through 17 on your own. I want you to see where the Apostle James, they're having the council there of churches, and they're like, can these lost, really weirdo European Gentiles, these African Gentiles, can they be saved? Paul's like, I'm telling you, they're saved. Peter's like, I'm telling you, I preached and they received the Holy Spirit. So the council had to come together. Jerusalem council had to come together and they're meeting. And this is a powerhouse meeting in Jerusalem. And the apostles are talking about what happened. And they're talking about the experience, how God had moved. And they're like, James got up and finally said, listen, this is what Amos said. And James actually goes back and quotes from Amos. Amos chapter 9 that you and I are reading today. James quotes on their behalf, the Gentiles that were saved. And really and truly, if you want to knock it down to the elementary level, he was quoting it for your sake and mine. How many of you guys would like, this morning, men that are here, guys, brothers and sisters, listen, God has put a word, you can be saved, but you have to come down front, and we're going to ask anybody that has a medical background, we have to do circumcision this morning before you can be saved. You got to be saved and circumcised. Anybody, any takers? Not me either, brother. I'm out the back door, right? I'm not worshiping that God, right? And that's what they were saying. Everybody's got to be, you're not under the circumcision. How can they be under the law? And he's like, not under the law now, we're under grace. Well, oh, we're under grace. That means we can just sin all we want to, right? We can just be like the people of old. Paul says, God forbid, Romans 6. Go read it for yourself. God has set up a system whereby we may live a holy life if we follow what his word says to us. He set it up for his people as well. God promised future blessings and security for the Jewish remnant, committing to plant them in the promised land he had previously bestowed upon them. You can read Romans 16. It's kind of a benediction of praise that Paul does. And he talks about the prophecies of old. And this is one of those prophecies fulfilled. And finally, God finalized this vision by proclaiming, look what he says at the end again, says the Lord your God. These were his chosen people. He called them out. He told them the truth. And he said, some of you that are faithful, you're enduring to the end. Yes, trouble's coming. Yes, you're going to be taken away. Your country, your nation's going to be destroyed. But if you're found faithful, listen, God's going to see you through. You know why he had to see him through? One, because he promised, but two, because Jesus had not come incarnate yet. He hadn't come in the flesh. So God had to save a remnant from Genesis. He said he's coming. The seed of the woman was coming. From the line of David, the seed was coming. The root was coming out of Jesse. There had to be this futuring for Jesus to be here and arrive. And listen, brothers and sisters, aren't you glad that God was truthful back in the day of Amos? Aren't you glad God was truthful and he kept his word, that he would send a Savior to save people from their sins? We're coming up on Christmas. Derek made a joke about the Christmas tree that's coming up. And we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas just in a couple months. And we're going to sing, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. And then the same people who would sing that on Sunday morning because mama or grandma made them come to church will cuss him Monday through Saturday when they walk out these doors. God forbid, God would not hold those people guiltless. Here's the question. What is your relationship with God? You know what? There's only two that know, you and God. You can fake it. You can sing hallelujah. You can praise the Lord, throw your hands up. You can praise. You can be singing on the platform and be not right relationship with God. You can fake it, but you won't make it with God. He's going to show you out. Your sins, listen, all your private sins will be made public one day. Did you know that? You think you're getting away with it now, quietly? The Bible's very clear. It's going to be public display. And guess about when it gets public, what's going to happen? You'll be angry that people brought it out. You'll be upset at everybody else. You're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. No, 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 brother and sister. If you ever think I love you more than I love God, you got it wrong. My wife knows I don't love her as much as I love Jesus Christ. He's first in my life, but she's right there. She's a quick tie behind him, though. She knows that, right? Because she wants me to love him first. I want her to love him first, because if we love him first, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to one another. Amen? That's how he shows a picture of himself in relationship. And lastly, are you secure in God's family through a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ? There's only two of you that know, you and God. Did all these individuals, no matter what their last names were during this time of Amos, did they know if they were right with God or not? Oh, yeah. Well, remember that plumb line? I made a plumb line. What did I do with it? Did I leave it back there, Wendy? It's a rope. What did I do with it? I laid it down running around. I probably left it in the bathroom back there. Everybody didn't know what the plumb line was. It's a string with a piece of metal or rock hanging down. And how were they able to measure whether they were right or not? All you had to do is go to the law. Bring it down, Melissa. I'll take it. This is a really rudimentary plumb line, and I'm not sure it would be still. Non-magnetic, but what God said, I should have did this when I preached through it. God would simply hang down and say, this is the law against the wall of God, right? The law, this is the straight line. Now compare your life to that. That's what a plumb line is. This isn't a very good one, but that's a plumb line. Are you living according to God's straight standard? Are you running the roads doing your own thing, thinking, well, God's just going to have to forgive me? God will not bow his knee to you or me. His standard will always be the same, no matter how powerful you might be, no matter how influential you might be, no matter how much money you have, no matter what office you hold. God will never bow his knee. And by the way, if you say, I don't believe in God, well, he's got a little bit for you as well in the future. It says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Read Philippians for yourself. You will bow your knee. Why not do it today? We ask kids, and kids are like, why don't people accept Christ today, Pastor, and just love Jesus because he loves them? It's a mystery, is it not? But the answer to the mystery is because you love your sin more than you love your God. That's what people are doing in Amos' day. That's what people are doing in our day today. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come to a conclusion in our service today, Lord, we know this is the Old Testament minor prophet Amos, but Lord, it just could as well be the prophecy of America today. We are doing the very same thing. We're walking so far away from the God that we say that we trust in, the God that we sing about, the God that we pray to. Lord, we're living our own lives and we're deeming that all should be right because we say so. We've taken the standards and the holiness of God and applied our own standards and ways. And Lord, we're walking so far from you and we think we're still good with you. Father, we all want to hear well done, good and faithful servant. But Lord, none of us want to do well or good while we're here on this earth. Our nature is to do wrong. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, because we desperately need you. And if there's someone here today, Lord, that's never given their heart and life to Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. They would see that they don't measure up to the standards that God has put in Scripture of living a holy life. You've given us a standard in Romans 12. You've given us a standard in Galatians 5. Lord, you've given us a standard in Romans 1. You've given us a standard in Exodus 20. Lord, you've showed us the way. May we be people, Lord, that are taking off the blinders. The Holy Spirit remove the blinders from us, that we may see clearly that we're undone for a holy God and we need to be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. That one time dying on the cross, that's one time believing and receiving you. And Lord, if there's Christians here today, Lord, their lives are getting clouded by sin. I pray today they know that they're saved, but today will be the day of repentance and turning, Lord, and confessing that sin and saying, God, I want to be right with you. I want you to be cleansed from my sins. Cleanse me from my sins. And Lord, make them refreshed and holy. There'd be a spiritual awakening, Lord. They'd be revived. Whatever, Lord, you choose today, may we say yes. In Jesus' name we pray for his sake.